Christmas trees?
Yeah, we are. We sure are. The Christmas tree season is upon us, right?
No doubt about it. O Tannenbaum.
That's right. You know, I've been telling everybody it rained. It rained from April till they started cutting the cane, and it stopped raining, which is great. Which is great for everybody. You know, we were tired of seeing the rain ourselves, and so the weather's been remarkably nice since about the first week of October.
Really, it's been very tough to complain. The rain that we have had has been limited, and hopefully just enough to keep plants and things in the yard and landscape going without too much watering. But otherwise, for us human beings, it's been pretty nice.
It really has. And the you know, the nice thing about it, I know it is a little dry, but it's not like in the summertime where if you miss a watering in the summer with the heat, the plant dies. Right now, the plants cut you a little slack. So if you miss a watering, generally speaking, you can go and water it a day or two late with no problem. So the watering is not as critical right now. You still need to watch it, though, especially new bedding plants that you plant in the ground. You want to check them, even though the temperatures have been mild and maybe overcast. You still need to water, and now the temperatures are going to start to be in the mid-70s for the next several days. You're going to want to watch it a little bit. But certainly not as critical as in the past, and just check them, you know, like in the ground twice a week. A good soaking ought to be sufficient. In the containers, in the sun, you still may have to water them every day or every other day, but it's not as hard to do in weather like this to kind of walk outside and check on your plants.
No doubt about it. Any concerns out there, or what are you thinking folks should be doing right now?
Well, the biggest thing people are doing now, it's been a late start on ryegrass and planting the rye, and it's strictly because of availability. The ryegrass arrived later than I've ever seen. It was almost November before it got here, which is very, very late. And but in terms of planting, it's really a non-issue. You can plant ryegrass. I tell people, you can plant ryegrass in February if you wanted. The difference is that you plant in February, it's only going to last you, you know, 6 or 8 weeks. So it's not an issue of it whether it's coming up or, you know, rye is relatively inexpensive. You just broadcast the seed. You could broadcast it over the top of your lawn, and that's when people, you start to use that little short rye because it's easier to maintain, doesn't get as tall, and so you don't have to cut the grass all winter. But your lawn will be green all winter. And the biggest issue of getting it up this year has been you're going to have to water it. Even though it's been really foggy and that dew stays, and that has helped to a degree. But, boy, if you can water it, it'll be up in 7 to 10 days. And once you get it up, it's a non-issue. There's no maintenance involved. You don't need to fertilize it. You don't need to water it for it to stay alive. It's just to germinate it. And then you'll have a green lawn, you know, till next April.
Very good. What up, you know, let's go back to Christmas trees for folks who have them and haven't got them yet. What are they doing with them, or should be doing?
Well, Jeff, first off, I want to say it is in terms of availability, it is the tightest Christmas tree season that I ever remembered. And we've been selling trees since the early 90s. And I do not remember a season where availability has been so tight. Even us, and we were fortunate, Jeff, we have a grower we've been dealing with really from the beginning, and so they were able to accommodate us, except that they had to cut my taller trees. The quantities were basically cut in half, so I didn't get nearly the number of trees that I would normally get, and they're smaller than normal. And that is not unique to us. It's not a unique to my grower. It is nationwide, and the reality is the cost of the trees, the freight was twice as much as they've been in the past. I'm sure all your listeners have heard that story about, you know, trucks, availability of trucks, and just freight is astronomical, and that's one issue. But the really confusing issue is that we have Christmas lots in Broussard that have zero trees. Opelousas zero trees, Youngsville trees. What's the shortage? Even the big boxes just have very short trees. And what is the reason? And the reason is, and it's you're going to have to, you know, kind of have an open mind on this, but the recession 10 or 12 years ago, that caused the, during the recession, people obviously bought less trees. And what happened is the growers, they base what they plant based on what's being purchased, and they leave everything else in the field. So they for about 4 or 5 years, they planted a lot less trees, and it's finally caught up with them. And so tall trees were very hard to get. We are pretty close to out. We have maybe a couple big ones left, and the rest are going to be the 7 to 8 and 6 to 7 and 5 to 6s. And those are our trees that we sell a lot of. And but they're going to be we're going to be out early this year too. So it's a strange year, Jeff. It has been a strange couple of years. Things that we never thought would happen are happening, and we just got to go roll with the flow. But the trees are very fresh. So for the listeners, when it comes to maintaining your tree, the first thing is when you put it inside, make a fresh cut, and put some warm water. And what do I mean by warm water? I'm talking about tap water. And that just allows that the tree to pick it up quicker. And every day, check your stand to make sure that if the tree has drinking the water, you want to refill it. Otherwise, that the stump will heal over and it will not be able to pick up any moisture. So check it every day. Now, very seldom does a tree continue to pick up water throughout the season, but if you can get it to drink up, three or four stands of water, you've done very, very well, and that will allow that tree to stay greener. There's things that you can add to the water. We have something called Keeps It Green, and there's all kind of remedies, you know, add Sprite, add aspirin, all that stuff. You know, but the main thing is to put water in there. That will keep the tree more viable, more flexible. The needle's flexible, and keep the needle drop at minimum. Obviously, the next thing you're going to want to do is watch your heat sources. If you put a tree in a certain spot every year and your tree does not last very long, you might want to look to see the reason why. Is it near a fireplace? Is it near a vent that blows, that's going to, when you turn the heater on, it's going to blow that dry air on it? And if you have an option of maybe finding another spot, it may be worth your while. Years ago, we used to tell people about the lights, and really the lights don't put out much heat anymore, so that's usually a non-issue. So check for those heat vents, fresh cuts, and dry heat is really the worst kind of heat. So if you have a fireplace, it's hard to tell people, run your fireplace to a minimum, because, in South Louisiana, Jeff, we don't get many opportunities to run a fireplace, so when we do, we want to do it. And just be aware that it does dry things out, and very fast. And that's kind of the do's and don'ts of them. When you're purchasing a tree, make sure the tree is fresh. Our trees, we get them 7 to 10 days before they cut them. The easiest way to tell is to actually take your hand and basically hit that limb as hard as you can, to knock off any loose needles that may have been when they baled it. Once you do that, grab that branch and kind of pull your hand with the needles on the tree towards you and see if there's a tremendous amount of needle drop. We can almost tell in the bales if we have an issue. And normally we'll get 1 or 2 trees a year that we say, it's not going to make it. We see a tree with no needles on it at all, and that is a sign of major issues. But basically, if you come up to a tree, you're obviously going to look for the color of the tree and to make sure it has a good, pretty green. It's not a dull green or a yellow green. And do that. Just kind of knock the branch off with your hand so all the anything that's loose on there is gone, and then pull it. Pull it with your hand and see if what the branch looks like, and see if there's many needles in your hand. And if that's the case, your tree is is you're starting off with the good tree, and you're not going to have any problems if you maintain that tree properly. And that's kind of the do's and don'ts, and just to know that if you haven't gotten your tree, you want to go out looking pretty soon, because it is going to be a tight year, obviously nationwide, but even in the region here, it's going to be kind of a tough find. It's not one of those years, Jeff, you want to wait till Christmas Eve to buy a tree, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Other things we're looking at this time of year?
Well, the other big Christmas thing is poinsettias, Jeff, and that's the obviously that is the number one selling plant for the Christmas season, and it's due to the color. Now you can get many poinsettias now that have pinks, whites, kind of off whites, and many different colors. Obviously, the more traditional one is going to be red. That's going to be the one that's sold the most and you see the most of. But even though, I guess the biggest emphasis I'm trying to say, even though it is a Christmas plant, the reason it's a Christmas plant is because of the bracts, which are basically the leaves that are red. They have that red look, and so it represents Christmas really, really well. It is not a Christmas plant because it can take the cold weather. It's kind of the opposite. It can't take the cold at all. So once temperatures start to get into the low 40s and 30s, you want to protect them. So it's one that, if you're going to put a poinsettia in a container outside, let's say at the front door, it is best to false plant them. Basically, what we're meaning by that is you leave them in the container you buy, and you actually just kind of set them in the container or set them within the soil within the container, so that if it does get cold, you just plop them out and bring them in the house. They can take light. You want to protect them from direct rain. And the main reason for that is that poinsettia stems are really sensitive. They can break easy. And so you want to kind of give them as much protection from the wind and the rain as you can. But like under the front porch or under a patio is fine. But they can take the sun. That's not the issue. Most people will decorate the interior of their home with poinsettias, and they work really, really well. If you have them in a relatively bright room, they will last longer for you, meaning that if you have sunlight coming through the windows, that is ideal. You don't want to put them in a dark room. If you do, I tell people, set them outside when maybe you don't have a lot of guests, and then bring them in so they will maintain their looks the most. So they do need light, but they can go inside in a bright room. When it comes to watering, that's a hard tell, because it depends on how cold it is. You start running your heaters, you probably have to water them every other day. If it's like temperatures like this and the air conditioner, it may be twice a week. The biggest hesitancy people have, they say, I know you can overwater poinsettias, and you can. And what is meant by overwatering is that you water them every day. That would be overwatering, and that would be a problem. But when you do need to water, you do want to water them, and you want to water them really, really well. So it's not a problem to, take them up, bring them to the sink, or bring them to the bathtub, or bring them outside and water the heck out of them. And so they really saturate it, and then bring them back in. That's not the issue. It's just continually wetting them when they're not dry, that's the overwatering part. So when you do water them heavy. Now, if you don't want to move them and you want to water them a little bit, that's fine. You just want to water them as much as you can. So you can hopefully get away with watering for, at least a couple of days. The ground staying wet all the time wouldn't be healthy for them, and you want to look out for that. When it also comes to purchasing poinsettias, you want to look at where they're stored. Are they stored where they are getting light? Are they stored where they're protected from the cold, and wind? And then you also want to look at the flower buds of the poinsettia. Remember we said earlier, Jeff, that the poinsettia itself what people are looking at is actually the leaf, which is called a bract. Those will change colors, and that is the prettiest part of the poinsettia. It's not the flower. So that is not a flower what we're looking at. The flower is inside the bracts, and you'll see them. They're little yellow buds. And what you're looking for in terms of longevity of a poinsettia is you want those buds not to be fully opened, relatively tight, and if they're in an environment where they're being taken care of and the buds are tight or just starting to open, you know they're going to last you the longest period of time. And I've seen poinsettias do extremely well, and if it's an early Mardi Gras, they'll actually show color in Mardi Gras if they're maintained properly.
Hey, I've held color until June.
There you go. So you can make that happen. And what will happen if you put them in an environment where it's too dark, where they not get enough direct light or just light in itself. And what I mean by light, I'm talking about outdoor light, is that they will begin to drop leaves. And so you may get them to show color, but the plant itself will look skimpy and look like it struggles. So that's why light is important. To maintain that poinsettia looking good and healthy. You know, the growers themselves, to get a poinsettia to bloom, they will actually shorten the day length. You know how normally by nature right now the day lengths are getting shorter. And that's what causes a poinsettia to change color. The bracts to change color is the day length shortening. The problem with it, the growers have to make that day length shorten quicker to confuse that poinsettia to say, hey, I need to turn red early. By nature, if you would have planted a poinsettia and protected it, they would normally turn red by nature in mid to late January, which obviously is too late for the Christmas season. So the growers actually shorten those day lengths and force them to bloom earlier. And so people will surmise that, okay, if I have purchased a poinsettia, I'm going to put in the closet and shorten that day length, and it does work. They'll turn red quicker, but because they have no light, the leaves will fall off very fast because of the fact that they didn't get enough light during the process of shortening their day length. So to keep it from being less confusing is you want to give it sunlight, let it bloom naturally. If you have one from last season, at this point it's too late to force it to bloom for Christmas. But what you would do is bring them inside, you know, maybe a couple hours before sunset, and just bring them in and put them where they won't get any light. But you got to bring them out every day, so that gets really, really, really difficult. So we tell people just let the growers do that, and buy your poinsettia every year, and don't fight that. But they do make a beautiful bush if you plant them outside, and they will bloom. If they haven't bloomed, you have one outside, they will bloom. But it's going to be, you know, mid to late January before they start to change colors, depending on location. And you are going to have to protect them from freezing. So if it gets really cold, you're going to have to kind of cover them up to, you know, make sure that, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I joked back in August or September, one of my older poinsettias was starting to develop some red bracts, and I joked, well, it must be close to Christmas.
You know? That's right. That's really, really unusual, but it depends on location. Remember, it's all about day length. And so if you can trick that plant to thinking that the day length is getting shorter, that's what causes them to say, I need to change colors. And so apparently you did, Jeff. Who knows what you did, but you did.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just make sure they stay watered.
Yes. next week I'm going to talk a little bit more about, we'll talk about camellias. You know, the camellias are starting to bloom in the landscape, And by camellias, we mean the japonicas and the sasanquas. That's all those, a lot of them are pink flowers, but you get the old japonicas with those big white flowers and red flowers. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, about the, you know, the do's and don'ts of camellias, and but I want to save that for next week, Jeff. But just tell everybody, enjoy this weather. We've been very fortunate. I like to say, Jeff, that we earned it based on the summer and the amount of moisture we got. I think we earned this weather, and I think it's going to last a little while.
Yeah, there is a reason why there are season or yearly averages. Yeah, we got a lot on the front end, but fortunately on the back end, still going to be higher than average, but things just tend to even out.
That's right, and it didn't quite even out this year. But you're right. I'd hesitate to think how many inches of rain we'd have gotten this year if it had been a normal fall and winter. We might have got 100 inches. I don't know, but you're right. It did kind of balance out, and I know the sugarcane farmers are thrilled to death. I mean, they've really been able to get in there and so far harvest without any major issues. If they can go a few more weeks, I know a lot of them may finish around Christmas this year.
There you go. Best chances of rain next on Wednesday. So get on out there and do what you got to do.
That's right, Jeff.
Richard, always a pleasure. All right. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Jeff.